May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 70. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast. My Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Hymn number 70.
the Lord might be pleased to help me, I would like us to read together from the book of Genesis, chapter 7, reading to verse 10, and then chapter 8. The book of Genesis, chapter 7, reading to verse 10. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thine house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take two, thee by seven, and male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. The fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the face of the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, they went in two and two into Noah, into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, or went down. And the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up of the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she was returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass, in the 601st year, in the 1st month, the 1st day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the 2nd month, On the 17th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, bringing forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly upon the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. May be helped to continue in prayer. Most kind and ever merciful and almighty, our Lord God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, we do thank thee again for this privilege to gather in thy house on thy day. We do thank thee for this day set apart when we can come and worship thee. We can lay aside the things of this life and come and worship the great God of heaven. And we do pray, Lord, that thou enable us to come in spirit and in truth. We do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us that desire to come, knowing, Lord, that of our own hearts, as we have just read, is evil from our youth. And we do pray then, Lord, that as we have come this day, that our worship might be found acceptable in thy sight, that all might be done for thy honour and for thy glory, that thy name might be lifted up upon this place. For thou hast said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we do pray, Lord, that as we seek to lift thee up, to give thee all the honour and all the glory, knowing that without thee we can do nothing, knowing, Lord, that without thee we are nothing. And we do thank thee that we can come in thy strength, that we can do all things through thou which constraineth us. We do thank thee that there has been this gathering here today. We do pray, Lord, individually for each of those who have come, for their hearts stand open before thee. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are today kept by the power of God. And thou knowest, Lord, those who are walking in darkness. We do pray that that gospel light might shine from heaven, if it could please thee, and open their eyes, that they might come to a real knowledge of the truth, that they might see themselves as thou dost see them, that they might cry out, unclean, 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 that they might be drawn to thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They might lose sight of self and become fond of him. We do ask, Lord, that thou lay upon us each that special desire to walk worthy of the vocation in which we are called, that we might never be left to bring a reproach upon thy name, that we might walk this life very carefully and prayerfully. Do keep us as the apple of thine eye. We do thank thee, Lord, that thy eye is upon the righteous, and thy ear is open unto our cry. We do thank thee, Lord, that thou dost stoop down and commune with those who don't deserve. We do pray, Lord, then that thou pour out a blessing this night. Thou send down those answers of peace. We pray that thou give us that real repentance over our sin. We ask, Lord, that though we might loathe even our own selves, that we might be able to view ourselves as what thou dost view us. But we thank thee that we can put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee that it is him that is seen when we approach unto God. And we would ask, Lord, that thou give us that faith to lay hold of these truths, that we might be able to lean upon our beloved. We do pray, Lord, that more might come to a real knowledge of the truth. We do pray, Lord, that thou give us that deeper understanding of thy word, that we might be able to venture deep down into the truths that are found therein, that we might often be found in thy word, diligently searching the scriptures, continually instant in prayer. Do help us to pray without ceasing. We ask that thou give us the mind that was in Christ. We do pray, Lord, that thou give us that desire in which thou didst have. As thou didst look upon the multitude and thou wast fulfilled with compassion. We ask, Lord, that thou give us that mind, that we might have the compassion for the souls of the lost, that thou give us each that burning desire for those that are lost. For thou hast said that thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel. We do pray, Lord, then that thou pour out that spirit-indicted prayer, that prompting from within, if it could please thee, for those who do not know thee. We think of those churches and chapels that have heard from the truth. We pray for those, even we believe, down this road, those that are seeking to entice the world in with the things of this world. We ask, Lord, that those in charge might have their eyes opened, that they might realise that these things only attract carnal-minded sinners. We ask, Lord, that thou work within them, if it could please thee, that thou open their eyes, that they might come to that real knowledge of the truth, that the real scriptures might be taught in that place. Ah, Lord, we would not throw stones at them. We do pray, Lord, that thou open our eyes also. Do help us, Lord, in the things which we err in thy sight. Do pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us even this night to lay before us those truths which need to be said. We might have that longing desire to walk in that right way. We do thank thee for this place. We thank thee, Lord, for its testimony over many years. We pray, Lord, that thou continue to go before them. Thou knowest, Lord, their privilege, that thou hast blessed them, as they are seeking to enlarge their car park. And we do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast provided for them the things that they have need of. And we would ask that thou continue to go before them, raise the remaining funds if it could please thee. For we know, Lord, that the cattle upon 1,000 hills are thine, the silver and the gold also. We do pray, Lord, then that thou art provide for them the things that they haven't been need of. And we would rejoice with them that they have this blessing. And we would pray for those who are in decline. We ask, Lord, that thou art pour out thy mercy upon those in our denomination who are very few, who tonight will meet in twos and threes. But we thank thee that thy promise stands, that there thou wilt be in the midst. We do remember thy servants who are going out this day. We do pray, Lord, that thou bless them. Bless them with that real liberty to proclaim the words that thou hast laid on their heart. Do pour in that they might be able to pour out. We would ask, Lord, that they might see that fruit from their labours. We remember their wives also. We thank thee, Lord, that thou canst bless them also. And we do pray, Lord, as they have left many looking after children this day on their own, we ask, Lord, that thou draw near to them and bless them. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt bless them abundantly within their souls, that they might truly know that with this sacrifice thou art well pleased. We ask, Lord, that thou raise up more men, if it could please thee, to preach thy word, to lay it in the hearts of some even this night, maybe. May that burden of the ministry. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt give them that desire to go into the highways and the byways and constrain them to come in. That the harvest is truly plentiful, but the labourers are there so few. And behold, the fields are white and ready for harvest. We would pray that in thy mercy, thou wilt raise up those men, those faithful men, to minister unto thy people. Remember the Sunday school also. We thank thee, Lord, that there is one here. We do pray that thou bless the young people. May they not be drawn aside by the things of this life. May they be found hungering and thirsting after these things early in life. For thou hast said, those that seek thee early shall find me. We do pray, Lord, that thou give them that seeking ability while they are young in years, that they might not be crowded out with carnal reason, but they might have that childlike faith. We pray, Lord, that thou give us that childlike faith, that we might not be left to doubt, but we might be able to lay hold of the truths that are found in thy word. Do ask, Lord, that thou speak to us even this night, to give us that confirmation that we are amongst thy people, that our sins, which are so many, are washed away. We might have some token for the good of our never dying soul. Those that have come in seeking, we do pray that they might find. They have been on their knees diligently, upon their knees this day. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt incline thine ear unto them, that thou wilt draw near and bless them abundantly if it could please thee, that they might know that their name is written somewhere in that Lamb's Book of Life. They truly are thy sons and thy daughters, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, that they might have a portion in thy word, to claim for their own. Remember again thy servants who seek to lead this people. We ask, Lord, that thou continue to go before them, do strengthen them, guide them, and direct them in all things. May they be able to lay hold of the hem of thy garment. May they be truly blessed abundantly in their office which thou hast laid them in. May they see that fruit also being brought forth from the ministers as they come time and time again. May they see those divine appointments, that their labours have not been in vain in the Lord. But may they see that a fruit bringing forward to thy honour and thy glory. We again remember those of the older generation. Thou knowest, Lord, how they are coming outwardly nearer their end. We would pray that thou be with them. Do help them and comfort them. Put thy loving arms round about them if it could please thee. May they lean upon thee for all needed help. Again, we remember those who are sick. We pray, Lord, that thou art draw near to them and comfort them. Take away any pain that they might have this evening. And may they have that realization that thou art with them in this sanctified affliction, that thou hast drawn near and gone with them. Once again, we come to speak in thy most holy name. Again, feeling our complete inability. Again, Lord, the Bible stands open before us. And again, it is a deep which knows no bottom. But we pray, Lord, thou wilt open up our understanding this night. Do pour in that we might be able to pour out. Do draw near to us if it could please thee. That we might go away from this place knowing that we have seen no man save Jesus only. For what is the house to me except the Master I can see? It is nothing, Lord. We would pray then that we might go away knowing that we have been with thee. Would you pray then that thou fulfil thy promise? Thou hast said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Do pray, Lord, that thou fill it with some token for the good of our never dying souls, that we might go away rejoicing what thou hast done. Do meet with us as we sit around thy table. Do solemnize our minds if it could please thee. Do remove all vain thoughts and distractions from us. And help us to focus on thy suffering upon the cross. Help us to realize the cost of our salvation. As we pray, Lord, that thou draw near to us this night. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Coming to you once more in complete dependence upon the Lord for help, and to give me every word to speak to you. To draw your attention to the chapter that we read, Genesis chapter 8, and the text you'll find in verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were upon the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. The words that were laid upon my mind were just the first ones really, but the dove had found no rest for the sole of her foot. The Lord knows how we seek to set before you those that were joined together through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and that covenant of his blood this morning. For who is able? To separate them out of the love of Christ. It's been quite a burden to me really that it seems to be up on a similar line of thought. But you know, the gospel must be sounded. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And every time there are people walking in nature's darkness, sitting in the congregation, Christ needs to be lifted up. Sinners need to be pointed to a blessed Saviour. Sinners need to be shown the error of their ways by the power of the Holy Spirit coming down and entering into their hearts and opening up their eyes. Noah sent forth two birds out of the ark. One a raven, and one a dove. One feasted upon the things of death, and the other found no rest for the sole of her foot. As the rains came, as the fountains of the deep were opened up, everybody living upon the face of that earth other than Noah and his family were utterly destroyed. Those who were sound safe in the ark were safe. Everybody else was lost. Now we don't really know exactly what took place. But the Bible tells us that the fountains of the deep were opened up. And we can tell by archaeological study that there was a great rending of the earth. A great violence of nature took place. Great powers were unleashed upon those people. But you know, they were not without warning. It took Noah 100 years, they believed, to build the ark. We read in Hebrews that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They had before them a way of salvation. Noah ministered unto them, pointed them to his raft, no doubt, warned them of the wrath to come. And yet, they did not heed his warnings. We can see, I believe, Noah's heart in that the fact that he did not shut the door. The Lord shut him in. The Lord shut Noah and his family into that ark. And I believe the reason was this. Could you imagine? No matter how evil the world is outside, knowing of the destruction that was going to take place, Could you shut that door? God had to do it. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He had a burden for those that he ministered to, even though they did not listen to him. The Lord shut him in. No doubt when the rains came, there would have been the beating upon the door. No doubt there would have been the shouting. No doubt there would have been those cries for repentance. But the door was shut. We read time and time again in the Word of God that the door was shut. The wise and the foolish virgins. Some had oil, some did not. When the foolish came, the door was shut. Jesus told the parable story of those who would say, "We have done this in thy name, we have done that in thy name. Depart from me, for I never knew you." The door was shut. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The unmerited, the undeserved love of God to sinners. Noah had it. And he was invited to come into the ark. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Come thou." The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. What does this set before us? It sets before us, I believe, a child of God having no rest, seeking a child of God, having no rest until she finds or he finds what they are looking for. The raven, the unconverted, satisfied with death. The raven would have fed on the bodies, no doubt, scattered upon the ocean. She was happy with those things. But the dove was not satisfied. Again, we have the two. One black, one white. The gospel is a dividing gospel. How is it with us? Are you content in this world here below? To be carnally minded is death, we read this morning. Are you like the raven, going to and fro over the earth, gathering for this life? Are you going to and fro, feasting on the things of death? Do you mix? Do you enjoy mixing, I should say, with the people of this world? The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Can light dwell with darkness?" Birds of a feather flock together. Do you find yourselves at home mixing with the people of this world? You know, we are in the world, but we're not to be of it, Jesus said. There's a vital difference. You see, those, as we were talking earlier, those who try to attract people to their churches with the things of this world. It's very easy. You just apply their music, their things that they enjoy, and they will flock. But are those the things that you enjoy? The things of death, the things of time, the world's music, the world's pursuits, the world's ambitions? Are you like this raven going to and fro, satisfied with these things? Ezekiel, he was shown a vision by the Lord. A parable of dry bones. And the Lord showed him a valley full of dry bones, and they were very dry. Can these dry bones live? And I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Can these dry bones live? These bones of death, these bones which are attracted to the things of this life, can they live? They try and oil themselves with the things of time. Where is it that dead people go? Dead people go to graveyards. Where is it the dead people of this world go? You find them mixing with one another in the pubs, in the clubs, in the shopping malls, in the theatres, in the places of pleasure. What are they searching for? They're searching for something to fill the void in their life. The hole that is within their heart, they're seeking to fill it with something of time. Something of this world which will never satisfy. What does the Bible say? Godliness with contentment is great gain. You will never be content with the things of this life. It cannot satisfy you. Jesus told a parable of the rich man. He said he would pull down his barns and build greater. He had his abundance. He was happy. He was going to put his feet up. But thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. Thou fool. What was he saying in these words? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And this is how you are living your life. As if there is no God. As if there is no eternity. But you know, you and I, we're on the brink of eternity every single minute of this day. We hang, as it were, on the brink of eternity. And are you still laying? Am I still laying in this valley of dry bones? Am I still satisfied walking in nature's darkness? Are you still satisfied? Oh, these dry bones. They were very dry. You know, God in his mercy did not cast them off. He told his servant Ezekiel to prophesy unto them, to preach to them the word of the Lord. And this is what his servants do today. They preach to you and me the word of the Lord. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all are born in this world as sinners. And there is no hope for any of us except we come to a knowledge of the truth. As God, in his mercy, breathes life into every living baby. It's taken a breath. It's been born. But the Bible says ye must be born again. Born of the Spirit. Being born into this world is not enough. Being born into a chapel-going family is not enough. You must be born again. An impossibility. It's impossible that these dry bones can live. It's impossible that someone can be born again. It is impossible for man to save himself. You see these dry bones. Dry bones prove that they were once living. And you and I, we are living. And we are walking every day in the valley of the shadow of death. But can you come in and say you will fear no evil? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. The God of heaven and the God of earth. Thou art with me. There are many characters in the Word of God that are laid before us for our encouragement. Men and women who were vile outward sinners. But maybe this isn't you. Maybe you do not feel yourself to be a vile outward sinner. Maybe you've never left chapel and you're coming today and you're feeling quite content with how you are. Let me tell you a story. There was once a lady and she was like you. She came to chapel and she thought she was quite good. She thought to herself, well, I haven't really sinned. Haven't actually done anything really bad. But God gave her a dream. In her dream she committed some sin. And when she woke up in the morning, she realized that inside she was a sinner. Vile indeed. And she could come as God said to Noah. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. This is where the sin is. It's within and without. But when the work of the Holy Spirit descends onto somebody, the outward sinners, their sins are sometimes laid before them like in a vision. And the Lord shows them what they are outwardly. But then their eyes are turned within. And they're shown themselves by nature. They're shown what goes on within their own hearts. And it is there. God looketh upon the heart. Man looketh upon the outward appearance. You can fool anybody by your clothing. Tell you another story. I once went on holiday with a load of boys, chapel boys, and I never liked wearing a suit. And these boys were drinking during the week, but on Sunday they put their suits on. And everyone treated them as if they were amazing. You know, I knew what had gone on in the week. But everyone else just saw these suits and they thought what good boys they are. But God looks upon the heart. Man looks upon the outward appearance. And in their hearts was death. Is it death within your heart. Maybe you've been fooling people for years. Maybe inward. The Lord knows. You're that raven going to and fro. You need to be like that dove. Found no rest for the sole of her feet. These things did not satisfy her. All she wanted was to return unto the ark. And there Noah stretched forth his hand and took her in. You can never be too sinful. The vilest sinner, we have a hymn that says, out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. My mind went straight to Rahab the harlot. The Lord used her. In Proverbs it tells us, about the harlot. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, her going down to the chambers of death. And yet God in his mercy used her for the good of his people. Used her, chosen before the foundation of the earth, as one of his. Who can understand the mind of God? How mysterious are his workings. But you know, she, a harlot who has led men down into hell through her occupation, sold her body for the pleasures of others, the Lord blessed her. We have her confession. She had heard. She had heard how God had delivered the children of Israel. And before they were laid down, she came up onto the roof, up unto them, and said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and on the other side of Jordan. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did we remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Her eyes had been opened. Although such a vile outward sinner, her eyes had been opened to the one God, the God Jehovah, the God of the children of Israel. She had come to a real knowledge of the truth. And she trembled. But she was saved. When the children of Israel compassed Jericho, the walls fell down. She hung that scarlet cord in the window. She was safe. And so will you and I be if that scarlet cord, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is hung on our hearts. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel their need is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Again we go to David, we did this morning. You think of the thief upon the cross. A man whose life has been a life of crime. the Lord showed mercy to him. The Lord took knowledge of him. He was one of his. If you would think of his whole life, if you were to write a book maybe, 10 chapters, the last part is all that matters. His confession, his repentance over his sin. He saw something that the other man didn't. He had faith, the eyes of faith lay hold upon Jesus Christ, and he believed that this man was the Son of God. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath done nothing amiss. Can you say that? This man? Does this man mean anything to you or I? Unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. If you do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is precious, then there is no hope for you. You are lost. You are the raven flying to and fro. Unto you, therefore, who believe. And it is through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. This man believed. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We don't hear him saying to him, oh, but you did this and you did that. The devil will do that. Once in him forever. Your sins, which are so many, are washed away. They are cast behind his back and remembered no more. They are dealt with upon the cross at Calvary. There, where the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. This man was on the cross next to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was suffering for him. That man was suffering for his own sin. But you know, his own sin was taken from him and laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can imagine these things? But God, who is rich in mercy, and the righteousness which the Lord Jesus Christ wove was laid upon that thief. It was laid upon Rahab the harlot. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. So she flew to the ark. When the work of grace begins within a sinner's heart, they will find no rest for the sole of their foot until they are drawn into that ark. We sought to demonstrate to the children at Sunday school the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. No man comes unto me except the Father draw him. The eyes are opened. Repentance begins its work. And they view Christ. And they see something in him that they have never seen before. Although they have heard his name time and time again, they view him as their own Saviour. Because my sheep, they hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. They hear his voice. And he puts forth his hand, and he draws them. because they have nowhere else to fly. And maybe you are fighting against this irresistible drawing power of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, this is impossible. It's not impossible. I fought against that power which was working within my heart for many months. Such was that love for the things of this world. Such was my desire to dwell among in the dens of iniquity. Such was my love for the things of time and pleasure that I hardened my heart. I could take you to the very door of the pub where the Lord met with me. I thought to myself, what am I doing here? I fought against it. I went in and I drank more and more and more. I will not have this man to reign over me. I was happy. I was happy dwelling in the dens of iniquity. I was happy there. Is that you? Are you happy like this raven flying around in the things of death? But in the end, that irresistible power wins. That irresistible drawing power of the Holy Spirit wins. Drawing sinners out of nature's darkness into His most marvelous light. Turning those that were dead in trespasses in sins completely around. And making them walk in newness of life. Making them see something of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the world, how they despise this name, how they blaspheme His name. It's our hearts by nature. But God, in His mercy, takes the hard heart, the heart of stone, and makes it a heart of flesh. What does it do? It yearns after Christ. And it is not satisfied with anything else. You come to the house of God in a completely different light, completely different desires. You long to hear His voice. You are not satisfied unless this living water is poured in. You are not satisfied unless you hear the Lord speaking to you, completely changing who you are. And you say, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You find no rest for the sole of your feet while here below. You find that the Lord's people who were once boring, who you had nothing in common with, you find an attraction with them. You find that their conversation burns within your heart. You long to hear them talk about the Lord. You long to hear them speak of the things that He has done for them. I know that I've turned from death unto life because you love the brethren. The brethren naturally have nothing to attract us to them. The carnal heart by nature, as we've said, goes after everything else. But when the Lord begins, that simplicity of faith draws in and we find something in these people that attracts us. The world loses its attraction and the people of it. And we long to walk in union with Jesus Christ. We long to say, to hear him say, sorry, follow me. If the work of grace has been begun in your heart, if you have been like that woman, made aware of your issue of blood, your sin which dwells within, you've heard of Christ, you've been drawn to him, you've laid hold of the hem of his garment, and that living virtue has ushered through your body, you believe that your sins, which are so many, have been washed away. What did that woman do? She declared unto all the people for what cause she had touched him. Realizing that she could no longer be hid, she declared unto them for what cause she had touched him. Why was she drawn to him? Because she had heard of him. She had heard that he was able to heal her of her illness. Why have you been drawn to Christ? Because he's shown you what you are by nature. He's shown you your sin. And you know you have nowhere else to fly but to Christ. You say, give me Christ, or else I die. The mad Gadarene, who was bound often with fetters and chains, who had his dwellings among the tombs, the Lord dealt with him. And we find him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But such was that desire within his heart, he wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to go with him. What did Jesus tell him to do? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel. Such was the love to the Lord Jesus Christ that he had to tell. You might say it was bubbling over within his heart. He could not contain himself any longer. He had to tell what the Lord had done for him. He had to let his light shine upon the hilltop. He had to take it out from underneath the bushel and set it upon the table. He had to declare unto all the people for what cause she had touched him. We read of those in Acts. Such was their love to the Lord Jesus Christ that they went everywhere publishing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had all things in common, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, in breaking of bread, from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favour with all people. And the Lord added daily those that should such be saved. They found no rest for the sole of their feet, but in Christ. And you and I will find no rest for the soles of our feet, but in Christ. You can seek every single pleasure upon this earth, and you will never be satisfied. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with such things as you have. You see, you find when you see a beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ that you've never seen before. the earth and all its toys become very dull. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." May it be words which spill from our lips. May it be something which we often are found praying for, that we might be able to live for Christ. We might say, to die is gain. May we find no rest for the soles of our feet here below, but may we find our rest in the world to come. May we be like the Lord Jesus Christ must be. I must be about my Father's business. And our Father, which is in heaven, his Father, as we said this morning, his Father is our Father. We are one. Then we also must be about our Father's business. And if he had called you then to declare unto all the people for what cause you have touched him, then you are to follow him. He has drawn you out of nature's darkness. He laid his sin, your sin, upon him, upon the cross at Calvary. Rose again the third day. And will you hide your light underneath a bushel? Or maybe prove it. Maybe each prove it. That we are amongst his people. May we find no rest for the sole of our feet. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £715, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gudgeon will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. We hope to hold our anniversary services tomorrow, when Mr. Gerald Buss will preach at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. And God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day. And notice that there will, God willing, be a church meeting on Monday, the 12th of May. Let us close with hymn 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.